The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Samach Tes, and we will begin 12 lines from the top of daf Samach Ches Amid Bey. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we began the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Samach Ches Amid Aleph, which discusses an Iska, which of course is the predecessor of what we know today as the Heter Iska. So, Perek Ezer Neshech, of course, is a very important Yesaidi Perek. It deals with the halachas of Ribbis. Ribbis has a lot of different elements to it. One of the more notable ones is the Heter Iska, which essentially allows a Yid to lend money to another Yid with him being able to realize a return on his loan. The makar to the sugya of Heter Iska is Bava Metzia Daf Samech Ches, Bava Metzia Daf Samech Tes. But the Iska, again, mentioned in the Mishnah, and the Iska mentioned in the Gemara, was not what we know as the Heter Iska. We'll talk a lot more about the Heter Iska later. But it was a real legitimate transaction where two people got together and became partners in a business venture. Reuven has money, Shimon has a business idea. Whether the business idea is something as simple as he's a chenveni, he sells peiros, but he needs a supplier. He needs somebody either to supply him with peiros or to give him money so that he himself should be able to buy peiros. He's somebody that raises animals, agolim, siachim, but he needs somebody to give him money so that he'll be able to buy the agolim and buy the siachim. So Reuven has the money. Shimon is the managing partner. He's the one that has the business idea. They come together and they say that Reuven will put up the money, Shimon will manage this venture, and any profits or losses that they have, they're going to split. So that if the venture makes money, the profits will be split in half. If the venture loses money, the losses will be split in half. It's a legitimate transaction, and the Gemara says, the Makar is really later in Masechtas Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. It works. There's no issues with Ribbis. It's something that works. There's no reason that two people cannot engage in such a transaction. The Gemara says that the way mechanically Halacha allows it to work is because we view the money that Reuven gives Shimon as being Mechtza Milva, 50% of the money that Reuven's giving Shimon, he's loaning Shimon. 50% of the money that Reuven's giving Shimon, he's just having Shimon watch for him or invest on his behalf. But Shimon is not becoming the owner of the money. The money is still Reuven's, and like any pekadim, kalhecha di isa, reshus ha-demari isa, it remains Reuven's money. So that half the money is lahitza nitna, it's a milva, it becomes Shimon's. Half the money is a pekadim, kalhecha di isa, reshus ha-demari isa, it remains Reuven. It's for that reason that if the venture makes money or loses money, the profits get split in half. Because when Shimon borrowed half of the money, he now became responsible to return that half. So regardless of what happens to it, his responsibility is merely to replace it. So if the dollars that we're discussing was $1,000, 500 of it is a pekadim, 500 is a milva. Working backwards, the 500 that's a milva, Shimon now borrowed from Reuven, his responsibility is to return to Reuven. If it makes money, that has nothing to do with Reuven. Shimon made money. If it loses money, that has also nothing to do with Reuven. Shimon still has a responsibility to replace the $500. Just like any loan. The Malva doesn't care what the loiv is doing with the money that he borrowed. All he wants to know is that the money's going to get back. So being that it's a palga milva, as it relates to that half, all profits and losses is going to belong to Shimon. But being that the other half is a pikadin, that belongs to Reuven. So if that half goes up in value, Reuven is the one that profited. If it goes down in value, Reuven is the one that lost. So being that it's palga pikadin, that half's profits and losses belongs to the investing partner. Being that it's palga milva, that half profits and losses belongs to the managing partner. It's for that reason it ends up working out very neatly, very nicely, that they're going to end up dividing equally all the profits and losses. Stating that, the Mishnah Daf Samech Ches Amud Aleph addressed one technical issue, and that is that the palga milva, palga pekadin structure addresses why any profits that are earned as a result of this venture would not constitute ribbis to the investing partner. It's because the money that he's making is not for the chatzi milva. The money that he's making is for the chatzi pekadim. That's not ribbis. Ribbis is when you give somebody interest for a loan. The chatzi milva, he's not getting any interest on. He's only getting half of the profit. And that half correlates to the So the money, the profits that he will make from this venture will not constitute ribis. The issue, however, is the tircha that the managing partner is investing into this transaction, into this venture, the sweat equity, the amal, the yagia that he's putting into it. It's clear that the reason he's willing to do it is not just to be some altruistic person to allow rich people to make more money and become wealthier. That's not what this is about. It's because there was a pal gamilva over here, and the managing partner is going to be entitled to half the profits. How's he going to make half the profit? It's because of the pal gamilva. So ultimately, any yagia and any tircha that he's going to put into this venture is really a result of the impetus, which was the pal gamilva. So that in itself, that yagia, that schar, although it's not tangible shekels, it's not real money, but as we saw in Perek Ezer Neshech, ribis would constitute any consideration, any compensation, even if it's not dollars and cents. So the sweat equity that the managing partner is investing into this venture, that would constitute ribis. So how do we address that? So the Mishnah said, the way to address it is by paying him for it. You have to give him schar amoloi u'mezoimai. The question is, what exactly is that shir? And the Gemara here is going to bring four braises that read rather smoothly, that discuss a machloikis tanoim, what exactly that dollar amount is, how much does the malva or the investing partner have to give the managing partner in order to alleviate this concern that the schar, that the yegiya and the amelos of the managing partner shouldn't constitute ribis. How much does the investing partner have to give the managing partner? Rameir says it doesn't matter. You can give him a lot of money, you can give him a little money. It really doesn't matter. What Rashi speaks out, all that matters is that they stipulate something. As long as at the time of the iska, there was an upmach of some sort, that in itself is all you need. That would address this concern. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if the investing partner invites the managing partner over to his house, and he tells him, if you'd like, you can have a little bit of fish sauce to dip your challah or to dip your fish into. Or he gives him a groigris. Even that would be enough. Rashi says that Rav Yehuda is being even more mekel than Rav Meir, because what he's saying is that even if there wasn't any arrangement at all, even if he just on his own, after the fact, allowed him to have something, that too would be fine. Rav Shimon ben Yechai takes a much stronger position. He says, you have to give him a real schar. What's the real schar? It's kabayel batel. That was the first Gemara on the bottom of Samech Hesamad Aleph, on the top of Samech Hesamad Beis. Either way, it would seem to be really two shiurim. According to Rav Shimon ben Yechai, it's a real festa shiur. You have to give him kischaroi. Kepoyo bottle has to be something legit. According to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rav Meir, it could be even a davar mu'at. The machlekes remain Rabbi Yehuda. The way Rashi explained the Gemara was that according to Rav Meir, at the very least, has to be stipulated. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't even have to be stipulated. Tana Rabbanan, another price. Ain shamin lo yaseiza v'loy esarichelim v'loy kol davar she'enei oisa v'oichal mechta. If Reuven and Shimon want to engage in an iska transaction, Reuven's going to give Shimon animals, Eisen, goats, rechelim, sheep. And the agreement is that they're going to go 50-50 for all profits and losses. It doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because it's a davar she'enei oisa v'oichal. Because it doesn't produce enough. It doesn't generate enough of its own income to say that the managing partner will benefit from that income to make him whole for any amelus v'yagia to alleviate the concern of our Mishnah, which is that why does that in itself not constitute ribis? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not true. I disagree. Shomin esel izin, mepnei shecholves. How could you tell me that goats don't generate revenue? Don't goats give milk? You can milk a goat and let the managing partner take that milk, and that will take care of that concern. Vesa rechelam, and sheep also. Mepnei shegoizes ois. You can always shear them. Veshoitvois, umertois. The point is, there is income that can be generated from izim and rechelam. It's for that reason you could divide it lemechza omechza. Vesa tarnegoiles, mepnei sheoiz vecheles, fek de gemara, vitane kamo, giz vecholov, loy sipek, leschar, Tanakama could argue. Why would he argue with Reis Rehudu? Reis Rehudu seems to be saying something very reasonable. He's saying that you don't have to worry about compensating the managing partner for his Yegia and Amelos, because he'll be able to benefit from the milk, he'll be able to benefit from the wool. Why would the Tanakama argue with that? Says the Gemara, Begiz of a Chol Kulam Elei Pligi. You're right. If the arrangement was that the managing partner gets to keep the wool, he gets to keep the milk, nobody would argue. Everybody would agree you could do the Iska, the Mechza, Mechza. Isn't the managing partner doing work? Isn't that ribbis? The answer is no, because he's been compensated for that. He's getting the Giz and the Chol. Keep Pligi, Mnesevi, Vitusri. Talking about a case where the arrangement was that they were going to divide the milk. They were going to divide. The only thing extra that the managing partner is going to get is the whey, W-H-E-Y. That's some of the liquid that remains after you milk the cow. That's something that's a dover muet. And the shaila was, would that constitute compensation? You have to give him a legitimate wage. You have to give him something real. The way is not legitimate. Rabbi Yehuda Savala Kavua. Rabbi Yehuda holds like his father, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda. So you see in this Gemara that Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda was Rabbi Yossi, the son of Stam Rabbi Yehuda and Shas, who's Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. And he holds that Afilu Loi Tova Lima Ela Betzir, for Loyachim Ela Gregas Achazel Schaim. You give him a Dover Muad, that's enough. So the Nisioi being the Tusri, that's a Dover Muad, that would be enough. In other words, this Brisa is another Brisa that's discussing the same exact machloikis that we had in the first Brisa. What's the sheer of how much the investing partner has to give the managing partner to make him whole? It shouldn't be ribbis, the fact that he's working for him. Is it a Scharim Mishalim? That was Shitas Rishim Bayichai in the previous Brisa. That's also the Shita, the Tanakama, in the second Brisa, or Rabbi Yehuda said, "Afilu leitav alima ela betzir, v'leiyach alima ela gregras achas." Adavar muat. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, in the second Brisa that he holds that the nisyubi and the tusri, the little bit of wool and the little bit of milk, the way that in itself would be enough for there not to be an issue with the amelus and the yagir. Tanu Rabban in the third Brisa, maskeres ishul chaver to tanagoyles b'shnei afreichim. A woman is allowed to rent her tanagoyles to her neighbor to use it to lay eggs in exchange for shnei afreichim. Isha sha'amra l'chaverta. This is the part of the braisa that we need. A woman tells her friend, "Tarnagoyles shali. I have a tarnagoyles. Ubeitzim shalichi. You have eggs. It's a good partnership. Ani v'at nachlik be'afreichim. Why don't we go into business together and let's make afreichim?" Rabbi Yehuda Matribi says, "Yeah, there's no reason you can't do that." Rabbi Shimon Noiser. Rabbi Shimon says you can't. You know what Rabbi Shimon says you can't? This is Rabbi Shimon Lushitasoi. Rabbi Shimon Bayichai. That's not Rabbi Shimon in Shas. And Rabbi Shimon holds that you have to pay her. She's the one that's doing the work. So the managing partner is the one that's going to do the work. So you can't just go divide the lemechzo mechzo. The work is the ribbis. Freak the Gemara. What about Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not ribbis. Doesn't he agree that the investing partner should have to make the managing partner whole for the work that she's doing? Yeah, the eggs that don't go bad, the ones that are never going to hatch, those eggs, the arrangement was the managing partner is allowed to keep. It's Rabbi Yehuda Lishitasi, the Gemara is going to say later, that holds, even a little davar mu'at, that is enough to make her whole. So, therefore, that was Beitz and Muzaris, that would alleviate this issue, that there shouldn't be ribbis. But again, the issue is the work. The equity is fine, that's not a problem. But the issue is the work is that's being done on top of that, that the managing partner is only doing because of his chatzi milva. He's not doing it for the chatzi pikadon. He's doing it for his chatzi milva. That in itself would constitute ribbis. Tanur Rabbanan, a fourth price on the same exact where the minig is that if two people get involved in a business arrangement, one person is going to supply the animals, the other person is going to do the work. And the minig amakim is that the investing partner would have to give the managing partner a few extra shekels for carrying the animals to wherever the animals need to be carried. So the halacha is you have to pay him. It's halacha l'maisa, you need to pay him. The ein mishana miminig amedino. You can't alter that, because if you don't pay him, that means the managing partner is doing the work for you for free. It's ribs. Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, there's a way around it. Shomin egalim imoy, v'syochim imoy. To the extent that you have an animal that's together with its mother, or a siach that's together with its mother. There the halacha is, afilu b'makom shenagu lahalei schar kasei mois. Even there, then in that case, it's going to be okay. Because being that the eagle, an animal, will usually follow its mother, so you don't have to pay the person for carrying the animal, because the animal is really going to take care of itself. Why don't you have to pay him for the mother? So Rashi addresses that question. Rashi says, because the mother is oisa v'oicheles anyways. It generates income. And that income, the managing partner will keep, that will make him whole for the work that he's doing. The issue would be more the child that doesn't have the ability yet to generate any income. To the extent that it's together with its mother, it just will follow its mother. There's nothing to worry about. But the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Le'boi, Schara, Moloi, Umezoinoi, some tircha there must be. Meaning the Gemara is saying, I hear Rav Shimon Gamliel, you want to tell me it's a davar mu'it. But to the extent that we're dealing with a ribbis issue, that davar mu'it is a little bit of ribbis. And a little bit of ribbis is also ribbis. So the Gemara says, it could glolim. No, being that it's only a davar mu'it, a davar mu'it the managing partner gets anyways. Because the glolim, that's the excrement that comes out of the animal, that has value. Albeit davar mu'it, a little bit of value, but that little bit that the managing partner gets from the glolim is enough to make him whole for the little bit of work that he's going to have to do. The idach. So why does Chacham have an issue with that? If this is the what's at stake here, and there's anyways glolim, so why shouldn't that be fine? So the Gemara says glolim afkurim afkur. He holds that glolim is always hefker. We've had this idea before. Ilchav zayinam analef, bavad kamim em chesam analef. So glolim is usually considered hefker. So you can't use that now. You can't say, but I gave you the glolim. The glolim belongs to the managing partner anyways, because it's something that people are not. And even if you say you're not mafkur, but l'dayta etzel kavadam, so that wouldn't constitute compensation. What is the beer in this machloikis? Whether the glolim, yeah, the glolim not. It's the same exact machloikis. Holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that even a davar mu'ud is enough. So this is a davar mu'ud. A davar mu'ud it at least is. The Tanakama holds like Rabbi Shimon Bayechoy, like the Tanakama, the previous price in Noisan, like Schar and Mishalim. To the extent you have to give him Schar and Mishalim, that's what that is. Omer Rab Nachman, said Rab Nachman. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, the Halacha Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the Halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. There were three Tanam that all said the same thing. That even though in an Iska transaction, the managing partner is technically giving ribbis by doing work for free. It's for that reason you need to give him something. And we have this machloikis. On the one hand, there were tanam who held you have to pay him a legit salary, going rate, whatever the management fees are. That's what you would have to give him. Mitzad sheni, you had shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, respectively, who all were the opinion that a davar mu'ud is enough, whether it's glolim, whether it's the nisyubi betusri, or whether it's loytov alimayel betzir, and you give him a little something, a gregris achas, even that would be enough. Said Rabbi Nachman, who we now know is the Marad Dina of Friday's daf, so said Rav Nachman, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef, the halacha is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. In other words, the davar mu'ud is going to be sufficient, says the Gemara. Bnei Rav Ilish, the sons of Rav Ilish, Rav Ilish was nifter, and after he passed away, the Yisoyman found the shtar. The shtar said that he was the managing partner in an iska partnership, and he was working for Palga Agar, Palga Hefsid. The profits and losses were divided equally, and didn't say anything in the shtar about Rav Ilish getting paid for the work that he was doing. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava. So Rava said, Rav Ilish gavre rabahu. Rav Ilish, we know, was a gavre rabah. The suri inchalei havi safi. And there's no way in the world that he would have been machshel the investing partner with the Isaribis, meaning he was technically the loiva, the Paul Gamilfi, he was the loiva. See, he's not the one that's receiving the ribis, he's the one that's giving the ribis. But still, even though he's the one receiving it, he would never be machshol the malva for the Isaribis. So it must be that even though there's nothing mentioned in the shtar, there must be an umdana that although the arrangement is 50-50, it's not really what it was. So manavshach, it's one of the two. E palga ba'agar trei tulsi behefsid. Either it's going to be palga Agar, they're going to split the profits, but they're not going to split the losses, meaning the investing partner is going to have to assume 2/3 of the losses, but only get 50% of the profits. So Rav Ilish, the managing partner, is Yodei Alo Yoina, because he gets less than half the losses, but he gets half of the profits. So that's the way to make him whole for the work that he's doing. Or if it's 50-50 on the losses, so he'll get more than half of the profits. It doesn't matter. But the point is, there must have been some sort of Amar Rav Kana Mritel. Try to get made Rav Zudin and Ardo. So Rav Kana said, I said over what Rav said to Rav Zudin and Ardo. And he told him, Mechatesi, how do you have a right now to go and alter the shtar and told the Yisoyimim that they have the option now to maybe take a little bit of more? Dilma Rav Ilish, Tevel Atzmai, Tevel Yubitzir Havo. We just said that Dalach is like Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon Gamliel, that for this compensation, all you have to give is a davar mu'ud. So maybe that's what Rav Ilish did. Maybe Rav Ilish sat down afterwards. They had kiddush together. He had a little bit of herring. Tavali my betzir, and he was yaitza, and that was enough. Meaning, you don't need that in the shtar. Because Rabbi Yehuda said that even if they didn't stipulate it, it's going to be fine. So how do you know that there was an issue? Rabbi Nachman said, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei, he told him back, Lav hilchasa itmar. I disagree with you. The halacha is not like those Tannaim that a Dover Mur is enough. I didn't Rav Nachman say halacha, halacha, halacha. No, wrong word. Whoever said over this halacha from Rav Nachman got it wrong. Shita Itma. What he was saying was that we have all these brises that all seem to have a machloikis with how much you have to give the managing partner in order not to have this issue ribis. We had a Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Nachman said, Kulam b'shitach. They're all saying the same thing. They are all of the opinion that a davar mu'ud is enough, and even if you didn't make the arrangement. But as it relates to the halach, it's not what he meant. Shita achas itmar. And hachi nami mistabri said it's mashma that way. If you're going to say it's not, lamalei l'michshav l'meimer halacha halacha. Why do you have to say halachak Rabbi Yehuda, v'halachak Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, v'halachak Rabbi Yehuda? Why do you have to keep on repeating it? Leima halachak Rabbi Yehuda, the mekel mekula. Just say halachak Rabbi Yehuda, who was for sure the biggest mekel, because he said, even if you didn't make an arrangement, and afilu like tovalima betzir, that in itself is going to be enough. The fact that we mentioned the word three times, it's obvious that the word wasn't halacha. The word must have been something else. What was the word? Shita. And Rav Nachman was never paskening. Rav Nachman was never paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. He was just saying that they're all the same, but it could be that's not the halacha, and therefore you're going to make it up to him. You're going to have to make it up to him in a different way. So just to exhale for one moment, two ha'aras regarding this gemara. So we have a gemara where Rav Elish was involved in a iska transaction, and if you read the shtar, it said that they're going to split equally all profits and all losses. And Rava said, Rav Elish gaver rabahu. Rav Elish was a gaver rabah. V'isuri le'inshi le'havi sofi. What came to mind? Rav Elish gaver rabah is a Gemara Masechtas Gittin daf mem hei amar aleph that talks about the gaver rabah of Rav Elish. The Gemara tells a story. Bonsei de Rav Nachman bachshon kedera biyadayu. Rav Nachman's daughters used to be able to stir a boiling hot pot of food with their hands. So they didn't need a kach level to stir the pot. They were able to do it with their own hands. Says the Gemara, Kashalei the Rav Elish. Rav Elish heard about this, and he was very bothered. Ksivi said, Shlema Melech said in Koheles, Adam Echa Me'elef Matzasi, I found one chashev person out of 1,000. But Be'isha, even one out of 1,000 I couldn't find. What about Rav Nachman's daughters? They seem to be quite chashev. Hashem is performing this unbelievable miracle. They're putting their hands into a pot that's yad seledes bo, it's yad nichves bo, it's a klirishan aleish, and nothing is happening. So I don't understand. How exactly is this going down? Says the Gemara, Garmelahu milso vishtabi. So the Gemara says, Maisa shahaya, Rav Nachman's daughters were taken into captivity. And it just so happened, and the Rav Elish was also taken into captivity, and they were all in the same exact place. Rav Elish was sitting next to a person who claimed to know Sichas Oifis, that when birds chirped, he knew what they were saying. Also, Urva, an Oirev came, a raven, and it started yapping, it started making noise. Amaleh, Rav Elish turned to this yid, this person, maybe non-yid, and he said, my kama, what's he saying? Amaleh, he's saying, Elish brach, Elish brach. He's telling you to run, escape. It's a shas ha-koysha. If you run away now, you're going to make it out alive. Amar, so Rav Elish said, Urva shikruhu, I don't trust ravens. After that, Yoina came. The Kakari, now the Yoina was chirping. Amalei, my comrade, Amalei, he told him, Elish brach, Elish brach. Omar, Knesset, Omar, Elish said, Azai. Knesset, Yisrael, ki Yoina metilo. Kla Yisrael is compared to a Yoina. And if the Yoina said, Elish brach, it must be it's telling the truth. The Mashal says in Chedushi HaGadis, Rav Elish learned this from Noach. Noach trusted the Yoina. So Rav Elish said, I'm going to trust the Yoina as well. And he said, Shema Mino, Misrachish Li Niso, Omar Ezel Achsi Bonsed Rav Nachman. He says, let me go tell Rav Nachman's daughters that there's an opportunity to run away. Maybe they also want to run away. But before he did that, he said, I want to verify that they're really chashuv enough that they'll be able to make it out alive. If they're really chashiv, so he said, how do I find out if they're really chashiv? He said, women, you know, they talk the truth when then the Beis Akise. Shaminu, the comrades, he went to the Beis Akise and he listens into the conversation. And he overhears the following conversation. Adi Gurvrin ven Adoi Gurvrin. Leimalu l'shabuya dar chikinu meyach l'leis inshi v'lishmu v'lifrinku. He says, you know, I'm starting to like my new husband, the captor, is better than I like my husband back in Arda. I wish they would move us someplace really far from Arda so that our real husbands would never find us and we'd be able to live the rest of our lives happily ever after together with these captors. So when he heard that, he realized that they weren't as chashiv as they somehow had imposed to be, says the Gemara, come Arak, he ran away, Rav Yilush did, and he left Rav Nachman's daughters behind. He went together with this person who knew the Sichas Ha'ifas, says the Gemara, Rav Yilush himself had a miracle, and that person did not have a miracle. And the Besoif, he found out that how Rav Nachman's daughters able to stir the pot without the koch level, it was all kishiv, that's what they were able to do. But the bottom line is, you want to know Rav Yilush being a gavur rabba, this is where you see Rav Yilush was a gavur rabba. But Derech Agav, the Rav Tiveger, Gilyon Ashas, brings from the Sefer Aruch, that from this Gemara, it's Muchach, that Rav Yilush knew Sichas Ha'ifos. That's what Rav Kiveger brings. V'kvar hisigu b'seida hadoiris. And then he says, the seida hadoiris, Rav Yechiel Halperin, so Rav Kiveger is quoting the seida hadoiris, dekan mashpa behepech. That over here, faker, just learned the Gemara. He didn't know. He kept on asking this person. Said, Yidua, that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said, that pshat in the Gemara zazoi. He says, I don't understand. Rav Yilush didn't trust the raven. But this Shegetz, who told him that the Yoina said, Ilish brach, he did trust. So said Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Vaistos, that Reb Yilush really knew Sichas Ha'ifas. Because if he didn't know Sichas Ha'ifas, just like he didn't trust the raven, he would have never trusted this person. But if he knew Sichas Ha'ifas, then why do you have to ask this person that was standing next to him what was going on? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said, because you see the Koyach of Negiyas, Reb Yilush knew what he wanted to hear. It was Pashat he wanted to hear, Ilish Brach, but he was worried that maybe that's really not what's going on. So he asked this person next to him, he said, Vazokter. So he told him, he said, Ilish Brach. So he said, Vaistos, that must be what the raven said. But I don't trust the raven. Then when he told him that the Yoin is saying Yilush Brach, he said, I heard it. And the Yoin is saying it, I'm ready to run away. If I care, this Gemara is not a ride of Yilush didn't know Sichas Ha'ifas. It's a ride of Yilush did know Sichas Ha'ifas. Either way, that's the Agada part of this Gemara. As it relates to the more Lamdisha part of this Gemara, the Rajba asks a Gevaldige Kasha. This is one of the more important Gemaras in the Sugis of Perek Ezeu Neshach. Rava commented, he said, Rav Yilush Gavra Rabahu. Rav Yilush is a Gavra of Yisrael, Inshalei Havisafa. There's no way in the world that he would have involved himself in an Iska transaction, which ultimately would have meant that the investing partner is going to be Malva Baribis. He would have never been Machshel him. Why? Because a yid is not over lifnei ivalei sitem michshol. Frank the Rajba, why do you need lifnei ivalei sitem michshol? Typically, we spoke it out in the Hakdama to Perkei Zuneshech, that just like the malva is over the Isseribis, the loiv is also over the Isseribis, and the Rambam brings at the beginning of Perkei Zuneshech, malva the loiv, that the loiv is over two Isurim. So the loiv is over and this is just like the malva. So why did he have to say that, wait, how the Sofi, typically the loiv is over the Isseribis, he would have never been over the Isseribis. Forget about the fact that he's been machshel the malva in the Isseribis. Says the Rashba, from this Gemara, you see a Yesoid Gadol in Hilchas Ribis. That the only time the loiv is over the Isseribis is Ribis Dei Raisa. Ribis Ktutso. But Ayois, the Iska is not Ribis Dei Raisa. It's only Ribis Dei Rabbanon. But being that it's not Ribis Dei Raisa, it's for that reason, said the Rashba, there would have been no Isser Mitzad, the actual Isseribis. Narvas, the Malva is going to be over in Issa de Rabbanon, and being that the Malva is Issa de Rabbanon, there's a lifnei ivalei sichtem michshol not to be machshol the Malva in an Issa de Rabbanon. But the truth is, although the Rajba says this, the Achroinim, the Paiskim all point out, and the Rambam is mavur not that way. Because the Rambam, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Chayt Shemishpat, Simen Lamedalos of Kot and Yud, this is a Loshen HaRambam, HaMalva Beribis Pasol. If someone's Malva Beribis, he's Pasol Eidus. Chayt Shemishpat Simen Lamed Dalid, which gets a lot of airtime. Chayshem Mishpat Simen Lamed Dalid is Hilchis Psule Eidos. Echad HaMalva VeEchad HaLoyla. In Beribis Ketsutza Psule Menater. Then Beribis Medrabonon Psule Medivrayim. So the Rambam says that a Malva and a Loyla Beribis are always Psule Eidos. If it's Ribis they write, then Psule Eidos Medei Raisa. If it's Ribis Medrabonon, then Psule Eidos Medrabonon. Zoysoy meres that the loiv is over, albeit and this is the rabbanon when he's loiv the ribis the rabban says the ramav yeshayimrim the bavak ribis ain't a nisal ela hamalva v'loy aloiva. What's the makar? The makar is this Rashba. They bring here from the Ramukhi Yosef other rishonim as well. But the point is that this shaila is really totally in a big machloikis rishonim. But b'derech agav the mechas chinuch in mitzvah reish lamed beisiv katan dalid says you see another thing in this Rashba. You know what you see in the Rashba? You see that if somebody's machshel somebody to do an isser rabbanon, you're over lifnei ivel esitem michshol. Meaning you could have thought that maybe the only time you're over lifnei ivel esitem michshol is if you machshel someone an isser deraisa. But maybe if you machshel someone an isser rabbanon, maybe you're not going to be over an isser. So that you clearly see in this Gemara luchura you are with the what the Michas Chinuch is mesupik is that Isser lifnei Iver, an Isser de Raisa, or an Isser de Rabbanon. Meaning, if someone is machshel someone to be over an Isser de Rabbanon, is the machshel over an Isser de Rabbanon, or is the machshel over an Isser de Raisa? At first glance, you would say, how could the machshel be worse than the nichshel? How could the person that caused the other person to do the Avera end up more chomer than the person that actually did the Aver? And in fact, he brings from Tosfos and Chagiga, Taf Yud Ches Amar Aleph, in the Sugya of Isser Melacha and Chol HaMoed. This is the Reis of the Rabbanon. It's a long Tosfos, a famous Tosfos, Yud Ches Amar Aleph. And from that Tosfos, says it's Mavur, that it'll only be an Isser the Rabbanon. But the Michas Chinuch says it's a Tmiyah Gedoil, if you think about it. It makes no sense. It's actually just the opposite. Meaning, at first glance, you look at it and you say, of course he's only Yod Isser the Rabbanon. But at second glance, says the Michas Chinuch, it's just the opposite. Why? Because we know that if Reuven goes over to Shimon and he gives him an Eitzah She'eino Hegenes, he tells him, make a right turn as opposed to a left turn. He just gives him a bad piece of advice. He's over an Issa Deiraisa. That means the Issa Lifnei Iver Leisita Michshol, the Deiraisa Deke Issa is not to be Machshol somebody. Don't cause a person to stumble. So Freit Michas Chinuch, how could you tell me that stumbling in an Issa de Rabbanon is worse than stumbling in Mili D'Alma? And if even the Mili D'Alma doesn't lift Na'iv Leisita Michshol Medeiraisa, then for a Michshol of an Issa de Rabbanon, there should be an Issa Deiraisa also. He's Mamish Matmi, he's very bothered Michas Chinuch. But then Michas Chinuch just says one knech. He says that at first glance, you see from this Gemara that Avadu doesn't lift Na'iv. That's the Rashba. But he says, you can argue maybe Fakert, because the Gemara says, Rav Elish was a Gavra Rabba. And there's no way Rav Elish would have been Nichshol in something like this. Meaning it sounds almost like that maybe had Rav Elish not been a Gavra Rabba, and he had not been someone that knew Sichas Oifis and he had all these miracles happening to him, then maybe, okay. It's Mashma almost says the Michas Chinuch, I'm tempted to say that really there is no Issa. And it's just Rav Elish, who was a guy for a rabbi that the Gemara was bothered by. But either way, a little bit of raid regarding Rav Elish. Says the Gemara a little bit more about this idea of how much the investing partner has to give the managing partner, so we shouldn't run into this ribbis issue. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Moiser Shlish Bischarcha, Hareza Mutter. Rav said a chiddush. What if Reuven and Shimon get involved in an Iska transaction and they agree that it's going to be palgo palgo? They're going to split the profits and the losses equally. There's no arrangement for the investing partner to give the managing partner anything. He's not giving him anything. But there is one clause in the contract that says that even though we're splitting 50-50, it's only for the first 33% of profits, the first third. But anything beyond that, you, the managing partner, can keep. So at that point, said, well, that's okay. Because as long as he's getting something, that makes it that it shouldn't be ribbis. They were very bullish on this venture, clearly. But he told him anything above a third, and the guy shook his head. Absolutely. V'shmul amar loy matza moiser shlish yelech lebeisei reikon. How could that be? What happens if he doesn't make more than a shlish? Then it's going to come out that the managing partner didn't get anything, which means that he worked for free, which means that the investing partner took ribbis. So that can't be enough. Elam Hashmul, koitzitz loy dinar. You have to give him a dinar. Freik the Gemara, v'sov Rab, en koitzitz loy dinar. Does Rab hold? You don't have to give him a dinar. Rab said, Eish egla lepetuma, that if somebody gives someone else an animal to fatten up for him, and the arrangement is an iska, that any profits that come from the fattening of this animal, we're going to split in half. You should give the head of the eagle, of the calf, over to the patam, to this person that's fattening. It says, the Gemara, my love, the Amalei Moisa Shlish Bescharcha. Aren't we talking about even a case where they made an arrangement where the person giving the eagle tells the patam that you can keep any profits above a shlish? And the reason the Rishonim speak out that we're probably talking about that, Rashi alludes to it, Vashmin and Ra, because otherwise, what's the chiddush? There must be some chiddush that Rav is saying. So the Gemara says, Loi, it's not muchach that that's the case. The Kamalei Moisa Shlish, Ireish Egla Leptuma. Now, it could be if there was an arrangement of Moisa Shlish, maybe that would be enough. We're saying Reish Agluptuma, that would also be enough. Iba Yaseima, ki kama Rav Moisa Shlish Bescharcha Mutigun Isle Behemel Dide. It could be when Rav said Moisa Shlish is enough, is where anyways the managing partner is not doing so much work because he has his own animals to attend to anyways. The army inchi, gavalatur, gavalatur. You prepare food for one animal, is the same as preparing food to two animals or to three animals. You're just adding a little bit more. There isn't that much more tircha. So it's such a davar mu'it. It could be when you're dealing with such a davar mu'it, in that case, it would be enough. I saw one interesting digression in the Sha'ar Mitzvah Balacha. He talks about Reish Egla Leptuma. So he says it sounds a little bit like the Reish of an eagle, the head of an animal, is a davar mu'it. Right? He said you only have to give him the resh eglo, even give him the head. That in itself would be enough. As if it's a davar mu'ud, it's something inferior. And he says the truth is, this is Gemara Masechta Shabbos, daf kuf chav tes amid beis, meyer resha bezuzi. Rashi says, what does that mean? Lo yikne roshi behema rakish nimtza bezul. Mishum she'in abriyim lech, because they're not healthy. So the head of the animal was always considered to be inferior. And where this comes up in halacha is in Yerideya Simon Kuf Aleph, in the sugyas of chaticha haru'uyah l'schabim. So if somebody has a piece of meat, and it's nisarev, basar, iser, bebasar heter, so ordinarily there's a halacha of bit, shishan, etc. But chaticha haru'uyah l'schabim, the halacha is, there's no bitl. So there's a whole nidain over there in the poskim, whether the roish of an animal is it considered a chaticha ruy l'schabed or is it not considered a chaticha ruy l'schabed? The two ha'aros that he asks is number one, Shabbos Kuf Yotez Amad Aleph, Rav Safra Machrich Reisha. Rav Safra used to, sounds like why he did it for covered Shabbos. Why Reisha? If it's an inferior piece of meat, he should have taken the, you know, the cap of the rib. Why is he taking the Reisha? Additionally, he says, we know, Rosh Hashanah, we eat the roish of an animal. So when we eat the head of an animal, so we're always like, wow, we're eating like this dover chashuv. It comes out, maybe it's not such a dover chashuv. Either way, as I said, a little bit of a digression. Rabbi Loza may hagrunya zovim behemo. Rabbi Loza may hagrunya once bought an animal, v'yov leila arise, and he gave it to his aris. So Rabbi Loza was the investing partner, and the aris was the managing partner. So he gives it to the aris, mefatimle, told him, I want you to fatten the animal, we'll split the profits and the losses. V'yov le reish ba'agra, and he gave him the roish of the animal, this dover mu'it, he gave him as schar. Says the Gemara, v'yov palgarach, in addition to that, meaning he got half of the profits, plus for his work, he got the roish of the animal. Amalei devisu, so this aris came home, told his wife about this business deal that he just did. He comes home with the roish, what's for dinner? How did you get it? So his wife tells him, you realize he put up all the money and you got the roish where he didn't get it. Can you imagine if you put up half the money? If you put up half the money, you probably get the tail also. So the Gemara says, Azal Zavim Bahadeh. So he said, you know, the next time I want to be your partner on the investing side, I want to put up 50% of the money. So the Gemara says, he came to put up 50% of Polygle Malisa. On my way, he split the tail, so it already wasn't going the way he expected. And afterwards, he dealt the thunder for Gilaresha. Now, let's divide the head also. So he told him, I don't understand what's going on. When you put up all the money, I got the head. Now that I'm putting up half the money, not only don't I get the tail, which I thought I was going to get, but I'm not even getting the head. So he told him, no, the fashtes nish, das ish ka yiddish a cup. I don't eat not till now. I don't. I don't eat. Zuzi didi have. Until now, it was my money. If I wouldn't have given you a little bit more, Mexicaribis. Now he looks at his Gemara. Hashta, Shutfi Anan. Now, we're Shutfin. My comrade, Tarachna Tveit, Porta. So, what are you going to tell me? Oh, we're partners, but this partner worked a little bit harder than the other partner. He says, no, welcome to partnerships. Omri, Inchi, Stama, Risa, Lamari, Arika, Mashaba, Nafshi, Lasule, Rai. That happens. That's not an issue. The issue is when one person is putting up all the money, because then the managing partner's profit is coming from the Pal Gamilva. If it's coming from the Pal Gamilva, there's a loan. If there's a loan, we say that the work that the managing partner is doing is consideration for the loan. That's ribbis. But to the extent that the profits that the managing partner is not coming from the money that he borrowed from the investor, but rather it's from the money that he himself invested pro rata into this venture, so his profits have nothing to do with the palga that he got from the investor, there's no milva, it's kulay pikadin. If it's kulay pikadin, there's no isaribis. If there's no isaribis, I don't have to give you the head. So I put up all the money because of the ribis issue. Because of a sifkatin, you're a day, I had no choice. Now, does it make sense? Maybe not. But you know what? Ribis doesn't make so much sense. We spoke that out. It's not a chesha mishpat halacha. The mechaber brings in a yeri day, doesn't bring in a chesha mishpat. It could be from a business standpoint, it seems a little bizarre. But we're not dealing with what business dictates, we're dealing with what halacha dictates, with what the Torah dictates. And the Torah says that if you're malva, there's ribis. So the bottom line is, if I put up all the money and I take back, I'm taking ribis, I have to give you more. If you put up half the money, I don't have to give you anything. So he actually ended up losing out because of the fact that he was malva ribis. Tanu Rabbanon, Hacham Behem al-Khaber, a similar halacha. If somebody gives his friend a behema, And the arrangement is that the friend, Shimon, the managing partner, he's going to raise his animal, and they're going to end up splitting the profits and the losses. The question is, how long does the managing partner have to be busy with these animals? Meaning, let's say he wants to terminate this partnership after a year. Could he do it? And the truth is, we'll see in the Gemara, that as these animals get older, as time passes, it becomes more complicated to deal with them. So really, the managing partner is getting a better return on his investment of time on the earlier part of this relationship, but as time passes, it becomes more tedious. So it would behoove the managing partner to get out of this sooner, and from the investing partner's standpoint, I want him to be busy with it longer, because as soon as he gives it back to me, I now have to be busy with it. So if there was no arrangement, I guess if there's an arrangement, there was an arrangement. But let's say there is no arrangement. What's the halacha? 18 months. Big geidrois. Those are small animals like goats and sheep. And let's say he, the managing partner, within this period of time, meaning before 18 months for a donkey, and before Chav Dalet Chodesh for Goydroy, says that I want to terminate this partnership, Chaver Ma'akavolov, the investor has a right to stop him. Aval, Enei Doimiti, Pula Shoshana Zuliti, Pula Shoshana Acheres. Aval might come, what does it mean? Aval, Elo, Fish, Enei Doimiti, Pula Shoshana Zuliti, Pula Shoshana Acheres. Meaning the reason that the managing partner can't terminate early is because what he will then be doing is get a better deal for himself and really harming the investor. Because the second year, as time passes, as we just mentioned, it gets more and more complicated. So that when the managing partner agreed to this arrangement, he wasn't just going to be busy with it during the easy times. He was going to be busy with it the hard times also. So if he wants to get out before the times get hard, that's not something you're the right to do. Tanya Ido, Hashem, maybe the Chaveroi. Again, somebody gave his friend an animal to raise. I must have the top of Bivlodois. So here we're not talking about the animal itself. We're talking about the Vlodois. I mean, what happens if now the animals of this business venture had babies? So now there's Vlodois. So those animals obviously would be considered profit. It's profit of the venture. The managing partner has a responsibility based on the original arrangement to be metapo with those vlodays as well. The question is how long? Bedaka, if it's a small animal, 50 days. No, you have to go 3 months. Why is it so hard with a behemadaka? Because the teeth are very dark, they're very hard for them to eat. After this time passes, to the extent that the managing partner is still being busy with these vlodos, so the halacha is as follows: noitel mechza shaloi, he gets his half; vechatzi mechza b'shal chaveiro, he gets half of the investor's half. And why is that? Because we now look as these vlodos were reinvested into the transaction. Meaning, based on the original arrangement, he had a responsibility to be busy with it for a certain period of time. But once that time passes, he doesn't have the responsibility anymore. So if he's still busy with it, it's as if there was a new arrangement that was made between the investor and the manager, where I now own these animals together with you, Bishutfis. I want you to raise them. And what's the arrangement? The iska, we're going to split chatzi-chatzi. Now the chatzi that anyways belongs to the managing partner, that belongs to him exclusively. As it relates to the other chatzi, it's palga milva upalga pekadin. So he ends up getting his chatzi plus chatzi of the investor's chatzi. The Gemara says, Rabbi Menashe Bar Goda, Shokom Mechzal Shoy, Chatzi Mechzal Shoy, this was a Maisa Shehoya with Rabbi Menashe Bar Goda and his investor, where there were Vladis, and the time had already lapsed, and he was still being busy with it, and he did this chatzi, chatzi, me, and rich. Also, the Kamida Abayo, Amalesi, told him, Man Polagloch, the Shaila was brought to Abayo, meaning he went ahead, and he started telling the investor, by the way, I get half of the Vladis, plus half of your half. So, the Shaila was brought to Abayo, the investor wasn't happy with what was going on, and he told him, who divided this for you? So he said, I don't know, I did it myself. V'oid, he said, not just that, Mokim Chinogu L'gadol, we live in a place where the minigam Mokim is that you're raising for a very long time, not like that Bryce of 30 days, 50 days, 3 months, V'tran, and it's a Mishnah, tomorrow's daf, Mokim Chinogu L'gadol Yagdilu. If the minig is you have to raise it for a long period of time, you have to raise it for a long meeting. Rabbi Nashe Bar Goda, that's the punchline of this story, couldn't just make this arrangement by himself. He was wrong, because the minigam Mokim anyways was wrong, but besides for that, you can't just decide on your own, I'm dividing the animals. You'd have to bring it to a professional, a rav. Someone would have to oversee it in order for it to be considered a real chalukah. Hanu trei kutayim. There were two kutayim. Now, wherever you see the word kuti in Shas, you have to know Geri Emes, Geri Arayas, who are we going according to? But Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, as a Goyis Yavid, says that these kutam were really full-fledged Yidden, Chassidish Yidden. They just happened to have come from Kuta. Kuta was a land in Iraq. The Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Basra that when Nimrod threw Avram Avinu into prison, before he threw him into the Kivshan Ha'esh, the prison was in Kuta. Kuta was in Iraq. The Kutim were called Kutim because they came originally from Kuta. But either way, these were two Yidden from Kuta. The Ovid, Iska, Ba'adi Adadi, they were partners in an Iska. One of them went and he divided the money. This was the profits that this Iska had earned. And he did it without the consent of his friend. And the other person took him to the entire. He said, you had no right to just divide it without me. Meaning what happened was they were partners and the partnership made $10,000 in profits. And now there was another business opportunity that the managing partner had, but he didn't want the investor to be his shutif. So what he did was he took the $10,000, he divided it, $5,000 is for me, he took his $5,000, he invested it, and he made good money. His investor heard about this, so besides for it being a little greasy and not really passing the smell test, he took it to the entire. He said, Mechatesi, you took $5,000 from the $10,000 that we had earned together, Beshutfiz, you now invested it. Mechatesi, you have a right to say that it was yours. I think I was a 50% Shutfiz in it. I want 50% of the profits. Amr Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Zuzi, commander, please. And they brought Rav Nachman, he's the Supreme Court in Dinim Ominous. He said, no, it's money, it's commander, please, you dummy. You don't have to go to a Rav to divide money. Money is money. So it's for that reason, it's okay. Meaning the managing partner had a right to Lashana. The next year, Zav and Chamer Badi Adadi. These two people went into business again. The investor still trusted his managing partner. And they bought wine this time. Here the investor was the smart aleck. He said, ah, my partner outsmarted me. I'm going to show him. So he takes the wine that they had made as profit, that $10,000 worth of wine. He divides it. He takes $5,000 worth of wine. He invests it, and he makes a good return on his money, and he's going to keep the whole thing. Now the managing partner took him to Din Torah, went right back, this time to Rapapa, and Amalesi told him, Mapalaglach. So he told him, right, one. Right. You're not finished. Wait, you'll see. There's a punchline. See, told him, who divided it for you? One second. Which rub overstood? A Malay. See, I don't understand. What? I don't understand. All the Rabbanim, there's some sort of conspiracy theory. When the managing partner divided it, it was okay. And now when I'm the one that did it, it's not okay. I'm a Rapapa. So Rapapa said, no, this is different. This is wine. He, your partner, divided money, cash. You divided what? What's the difference? Zuzi mishakul tavi v'shakul chaseri. Is there good money? Is there bad money? Money, but chamra wine. Kulei aviyadi. Everybody knows. The ikka de basim. There's good wine. The ikka de lay basim. And there's not such good wine. And it's for that reason he told him that you can't go ahead and divide this. Kufa amrav nachman. Zuzi kamanda pligi dami. Money is always considered as if it's divided. You don't need a professional to oversee it. But hani mili, when is that tavi v'tavi? The kuli v'tekuli. Good coins and good coins versus bad coins and bad coins. Meaning, today it seems very obvious that money is money. But once upon a time, it was a little less obvious because money had intrinsic value based on the weight and the value of the coin. It could be if there's good coins and bad coins, the halacha would not be that way. So before we go weiter, we'll try to finish until the Mishnah, three very important Gemaras, albeit very quick Gemaras from a Daf Yomi standpoint. It's just kedai to take a moment right now to talk a little bit about what we know as the Heter Ribbis. The Heter Iska. So we had a whole sugya over here about an Iska. But as mentioned, the Iska that we just spoke about that comes up several places in Shas was a real transaction where two people are not interested in being malva v'loiva, they're interested in going into business together. They want to split the profits, split the losses. The way you do it is by structuring this iska. It's palga milva, palga pekadin. Because it's palga pekadin, the bal hamois gets to keep half the profits and shear in half the losses. Because it's palga milva, he's guaranteed he's going to get his other half back. There's no profits and losses from that half. But the managing partner is the one that's now going to be entitled to half the profits, half the losses. The only issue from a ribbis standpoint we saw in this Gemara is what about the work that the managing partner is doing? So for that we had a whole sugya, a machloikas, Rishim Baichayim, Rabbi Yehuda, other Tannaim chimed in, Rav and Shmuel, different arrangements of how you're supposed to go ahead and alleviating that. what became a minig Yisrael throughout the generations is that today, if two people want to engage in a basic loan transaction, like a mortgage, a basic loan, Reuven's going to lend money to Shimon. And Reuven only was willing to lend money to Shimon to the extent that he's going to be able to realize some profit, some return on his loan. He wants interest. Now, you can't charge interest because it's ribbis. Ribbis, the raisa, avak ribbis. Ribbis is super duper complicated. The minig that somehow developed with time is to sit down and structure the transfer of money not as a loan, but as an iska transaction. And we know iska works because you see in the Gemara iska works. And as long as you cross your T's and dot your I's, you do it properly, it's okay to do an iska transaction. There's going to be no ribbis. So even though the intent really is a loan, but it's all in the structure. And if you can structure it somehow as an iska, you're not going to have any issues whatsoever. And the truth is that as far as understanding clearly how iska works, I think a really good Maramachin is Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igris Moshe Yerudea Chelik Beis Simen Samach Beis. The title of the tshuva is Be'inyan Mortgage Hanog Bebatim Eich Oisim Shloyeh Be'isa Rivas. See, he was talking specifically about a mortgage that somebody takes from a bank to buy a house. But the point is that he goes through beautifully, very clearly, very, very nicely, exactly how the heteriska works. But before we see the tshuva, there's one thing you have to realize, and that is in the real life iska transaction, in the real iska transaction, today's daf, yesterday's daf, the investor was assuming risk. Meaning, what would have happened had this business transaction gone bad? He would have lost half the money. If it would have made money, he would have made half the money. But there's a legitimate risk that the investor is getting involved in. When Reuven lends money to Shimon and he wants his money back with a 12% return, he's not willing to take any risk. If the iska transaction at the end of the day would mean that if the investment goes bad, that the investor's going to lose half the money, there would be no heteriska. You wouldn't have to worry about it. There would be another heter, or nobody would lend money. The heteriska wouldn't work. The premise of the heteriska is that I could lend you money, it's a collateralized loan, and I can get my interest guaranteed. So how does the heteriska work? In our sugya, it's pal gehefsid. So how exactly does the heteriska work? So that's a very obvious hurdle that we would have to overcome. So Rav Moshe says that the way that works, and this is really the minig Yisrael, the way they structure these iskas, a whole bunch of different iskas floating around, as far as the different nuschais and the drafts, and everyone has their own knitch. But the general understanding of what they do is that the investor tells the manager, who essentially is the borrower, he tells him that if you come to me and you tell me that this investment went bad, I understand that I'm entitled, or meaning I'm forced to lose half the money. But at the same time, I don't really trust you. And the only way that I will accept what you tell me is if you're willing to swear a shvua deiraisa, benekitas chefetz, and you basically put him in a situation where there's no way in the world he's ever going to do it. And it's not even shayach to do. So what happens is, and based on the transaction itself, says Rav Moshe, I'm taking on risk. And really, if it goes bad, I have to lose half. But at the end of the day, we'll only know for sure that the investment went bad if you swear benekitas chefetz v'chulu v'chulu. And being that that's never going to happen, you'll have no way of proving to me that it went bad. If you have no way of proving to me that it went bad, then you're mukhrich to give me my money. Oh, and not just that.
What about that?
Exactly. That's all included in the shul. Meaning you have to swear that it didn't make 12%. And plus fees and penalties. And otherwise, I don't believe you. Steph, I don't believe you. That's how I get it. So really, fundamentally, it's an iska transaction. And based on the this is iska 101. And that's poship shot the way the heter iska goes down. Here's the issue, though. Here's the issue. Says Rav Moshe, what happens, though, if the investor knows what went down? I'd say he knows. This is where it gets trickier. And this is where Rav Moshe tells you that in a perfect world, the less the investor knows, the more lekatchila the iska is. Because to the extent there's something that he can know, it's a really little troubling. Now, where Rav Moshe discusses an obvious case that the investor may know is, let's say, a bank that's giving a mortgage. Let's say an individual gives a personal mortgage to somebody to buy a piece of property. So it's very obvious. The money is going to buy this house. And you can find out what that you call a broker, run a few comps. You'll know exactly what this house is worth. So it's not so complicated. What about in that case? So Rav Moshe says that it's not muchach, even though the person borrowed the money to buy the house, but lav dafke he used the money to buy the house. Maybe he used the money for something else, and he just has the house as collateral. And the truth is, does the lender care? He probably doesn't care anyways. I mean, it could be he has to write in the documents that he cares, but he really doesn't care. But so the point is that there are ways to circumvent it, and it comes down to the language. Where it gets even a little bit trickier than that, and I saw in the video, Barak Baba, shout out to my good friend Yossi, that was written by Rav Baruch Maskowitz, who's a Talmud of Rav David Feinstein, and it's Psokim and Halacha based on Rav David. And he brings over here, it's Be'inyan Heter Iska Bizman Azel Adasa Igris Moshe. That's the title of the Tshuva. It's Simon Reishayin Ches, where he goes through a Moshe's take on Heter Iska, specifically this Nakuda, where the whole Heter Iska is predicated on the fact that the Malva is telling the Leiva that if it doesn't return 12%, you have to swear that it didn't return 12%. Otherwise, I don't believe you, and you have to give it to me. But what if he knows? Or better, so he takes it to the next step. What if the person borrowed the money to make a chasana? What if he borrowed the money to pay off chayves? He didn't even borrow the money to invest. How did he have iska in that case? There was no iska. There was nothing. There's no business element to it. So he brings from the that the Shoilu Meish have already discussed this in the Tshuva, and the Marsham, so Gedoyli Apoiskim from yesteryear already discussed this, and they both say Yosvara. They say that this Yid, who had to pay off chayves, had he not been able to pay off chayves, he would have been in a situation where he wouldn't have been able to work because he would have been busy trying to raise money. So at the end of the day, your loan facilitates him maybe to earn money, and it's that money that he's earning, albeit indirectly, that you can look as the schar to create an iska, and that's how the iska ends up working. A few other interesting things that he says is, number one, Ramosha says right in the beginning of the tshuva, he says one thing you have to understand, that number one, when two people sit down and they sign a heter iska, that the iska is not just an amira and a ksiva ba'alma. She's an inner lachash. It's not an incantation. Viskula hamayilim. You say this three times and standing on one foot and boom, there's no iser ribbis. It's a real transaction. And Rabbi Moshe held that you have to understand that. I saw in Rabbi Reisman's Laws of Ribbis. So he brings from the Chachmas Adam and the Tzemach Tzedek and other Gedolei Apoiskim who held that the iska only works if you understand it. So it's not necessarily halacha l'maisa, I don't know, but there are many paiskim that hold you have, both, but lender and borrower, both have to understand that there is iska. Just two other interesting things, and then we'll finish the Gemara, maybe we'll come back to this, but two other interesting things. Number one, as it relates to the schar yagia, the schar tircha, so what's halacha l'maisa? So Moshe says, a dollar. He says, if you give him a dollar, that's fine. It's halacha l'maisa, we paskin a dinar, which Moshe says, and a malva should always give the leiva. He says, if you give him $1,000,000 and a dollar. So the dollar is to make up for the yegiya and the tircha that the managing partner is going to have. And like this, that in itself is going to be enough. I saw it in Rabbi Reisman's Laws of Ribbis. He says that there are some that hold it. Being that Shulchan Aruch says dinar, it should be machped on a dinar. And he says a dinar, kesef, is 4.8 grams of silver. And he says, if you work with a dollar, you're going to be okay. So I actually looked it up. Today, a gram of silver, based on Friday's close, is about 52 cents or 54 cents, something like that. So 4.8 grams is actually a little bit more than that. But it sounds like it's only a heater anyways. Bottom line is, a dollar seems to be the going rate. And for a dollar, if you do a dollar, that would be okay. But he addresses something else. He goes, let's say a bank. You have a bank that's owned by Jews, and they're giving a mortgage, and they don't want to be over this or this, like the Israeli banks, and they're going to give a, there's going to be a heter iska. The problem is that they just signed 900 pages of documents, and the documents say that it's a loan. You have a little document that you paid a rav, nothing, to go and draft for you. And it says that it's not really a loan, it's really an investment, it's a heter iska, but he has to swear, blah, blah, blah. How's that going to work? Let's say there's no master document. So says Rav Moshe, that's how you look at it. The basically, the understanding, let me see if I can read it inside. Where is it? Them ha lawyers. Lamed Aleph Yud Ayin Reish Samach. Then my lawyers lo yirtzu lichtoiv zeh elokemaisha oisin mortgage shuhu beribes. Those are the lawyers are not maskim. A good lawyer is probably not going along with this. Tzarich lichtoiv b'shtar ha'iska. That's what you just said. You write in the shtar ha'iska she shtar zeh hu ha'iker. Shehisnu v'shtar ha-mortgage shenasa al yedei ha-lawyers who rak le-bitchoinois. It's like the security. Kishu le-yirtzu le-kayv li-te ma-shachayv le-nois le-fi ha-shtar iska. That if I have to come to it, I'm going to... Either way, that is a little bit of how this... By the way, you mentioned... No, Carl mentioned the... Iska Kloli. So how exactly does the Iska Kloli work? So it's not so, not everybody holds Iska Kloli works, but the tzad that it should work, it would be similar. I saw from the Poiske Kadmeinenu, they said that the reason it would work is similar to, like, let's say you're a money lender or you're a bank in Eretz Yisrael, so you're putting out mortgages all day long. So every time you have to give the guy a dollar and this and that. So the dollar is a little trickier, by the way, because that you do have to give really every time. But they do is instead of writing a heter Iska each time, instead of writing it has to have an Iska Kloli, that every single loan that we do is really an iska. Oh, so how do you do that? So they shtel too. It's like kol nidre. It's just that the place can shtel it too. They're just like a cult. You can set up at the beginning of the year and say any neder that I make should be betel v'tal v'shriv v'le'kayamin. It's the same exact concept that's possible to do with the heter iska. Either way, let's see if we can finish the daf to the mishka. Says the Gemara, Rab Chama have a megazuzi b'pshita. Rab Chama found a way to circumvent ribbis. He didn't lend money. He leased money. He rented it. Meaning, it's not a halva. I could lease a car. So why can't I lease money? And when you pay to make schirus, there's no iser ribbis. So the Gemara says, Chad yoyim akolos uzun Rav Chama. Vahi ayoyim, and Rav Chama lost all his money. Why? Because he was over in the iser ribbis. So what was Rav Chama's toys? Who suffered? He told Maishnami Mara. Why is it different than renting a tool? You could do that. Vallahi. Mara hajra be'ena. The Mara, what's unique always about the Pekadin? You have an obligation to return the Pekadin Kamei Shehi. The Yodiyah Pchasin, not just that, you can notice the depreciation in the Mara, so you can say that the Demei Sechiros is to make the owner whole for the depreciation. You have to know why you need this. But Zuzi Lai Hajra Be'inayu, Zuzi is Lai Tsa Nitna, Lai Diyah Pchasin, you don't see the depreciation in money itself, that's why you can't do this. Another very important halacha. Amar Rav, Ashar Lai Inishal Mebel Lai Lachavri, this is a huge chiddush. Ruven can tell Shimon, Helech Dalet Zuzi, Va'isvei Laplanya. The Dalet Zuzi, just do me a favor, lend money to Levi. So there's real ribbis over here. The malva is being paid off by someone to issue a loan. But it's not the Levi that's giving him the money, somebody else is giving him the money. So imagine, Reuven wants to borrow money from Shimon. And Reuven's willing, Shimon's not interested in issuing an interest-free loan. He doesn't want to be Mekayim and Kesetal Vesami. If he would give him interest, then he might be interested. That will change everything. But he's not allowed to charge him interest. So what does he do? He goes over to Levi and he tells Levi, do me a favor, go over to Shimon and tell Shimon you're willing to give him 12% if he lends me the money. Why? Because although the Torah said there's an Issa Ribbis, but Ribbis haba mi loiv lemalva. If the loiv is the one that's paying the Ribbis, but if the loiv is not the one that's paying the Ribbis, there's no Issa. Another halacha. We'll talk about this tomorrow. A person is allowed to tell his friend, "Shkilach arba zuzi, take 4 zuzin." Did I just say it? Oh, va'amalei leploini leoisvin zuzi, take 4 zuzi and tell ploini to lend me money. So over here, the malva is not getting anything extra, but the loiva is paying extra. It's the reverse of the previous case. In the previous case, the malva is getting more. He's getting ribbis. He's just not getting it from the loiva. He's getting it from somebody else. Over here, the loiva is paying somebody money to get this interest-free loan. So he's not giving the money to the malva because that would be ribbis. He's giving the money to Levi, to this third person, and he's, I'm doing it. You know him. You're good friends with him. Get him to give me an interest-free loan. If you do it, I'll pay you. So the malva's not taking ribbis, but the Levi is giving interest. So the Gemara says it's okay, because Char Mir Kashokal, he's not paying agar natar. He's paying for the brokerage fee, exactly. The Abba Mar... Bereder Rapapa. This is Abba Mari Bar Papa of Hadron fame. So Abba Mar, the son of Rapapa, Abba Shokul Ugna Dekira Mikira. He used to take wax from a Meicher wax, Va'amalei La'avua, and he would tell his father, Oisfinu Zuzi. Meaning he would get wax for free. Why would the person give him wax for free? Because Rapapa was a big veer. And he would tell his father, Rapapa, lend him money for free. So by getting his father to lend him money, he ended up gaining. So Amalei Rabbanu Rapapa, Rabbanu told Rapapa, Achol Breid Amar Revisa, they told your son, Abba Mari is eating ribis. Amalei kol ki hai ribis nechel. Nu, hazar ribis we should all be able to get. Like us, we're telling you, ribis haba milay v'lam alfa. Dafka milay v'lam alfa. Hachas chara mir kashal k'vashari. It's not milay v'lam alfa, and Yitzhak Hashem will more about this tomorrow.